about that showing on the banjo, huh?
It's just a guitar.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we are so thankful. How blessed we are as a church that we have those that are willing to serve while we're out here. They're back there laboring. So we're so thankful for that. And, you know, immediately after this service, too, I wanted to remind you that if you're interested in helping out for our Christmas service, which would be December 21st, we're just going to have a little special time of music. Basically, it's going to be Christmas carols and a little program that Bea has put together. If you're interested, if you can carry a tune a little bit in a bucket or whatever, it doesn't have to be great. If you can sing a little bit, and you're welcome to be a part of it with us. So just real quickly before you rush over there and get your food, we're going to have a real quick meeting right up here with Doris, Bea, and myself and talk about that. What it's going to entail. But all right, well, hey, welcome once again. My name is Sean Reinhold. It's so good to see all of you guys here this morning. And thank you, Walt, for mentioning my friend Mike, who's having surgery right now. So we'll be thinking of him and praying that that goes well. Wow, this morning we've got a lot to jam into our little time together. So I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. So let's pray. Father, once again, we ask for you to just have your way here in us. Lord, as we open up your word, God, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive. And God, would you speak to us, Lord, so that we might be changed, Lord, so that we can continue, Lord, to be your servants, Lord. Your word tells us that we're equipped for the work. So this morning we're asking, Lord, equip us that we might be able to do the work of the ministry that you have for us. Lord, we love you and we just surrender this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up your Bible to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 this morning. I've entitled my message this morning, "Oh, to be thankful." And as we're getting prepared, we're getting ready for this season of Thanksgiving, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. And you know, as many of you know, I've many children, and Thanksgiving has always been one of my favorite times because everybody would come home and we'd all be together, and we would just be able to be thankful. And so my prayer is for all of you that you're able to make some special memories during these seasons that are coming up. You know, just like the good memories, seasons tend to also remind us of things that have happened in our lives as well. It's just one of those things. And so my prayer is that we're able to switch the focus over, you know, to the Lord and to be thankful for what it is that he has for us. In Luke chapter 17, we're going to look at a few verses here, 11 through 13 first, and what we're going to see is that our thankfulness will begin with, first and foremost, recognizing our need. Let's look to the scripture. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers. They stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We see the lepers crying out. And the lepers, when you have Jesus standing in front of you, they're a little ways off and they're saying, "Lord Jesus, Master, They're recognizing who they're talking to. Have mercy on us. And we see Jesus, as he was going down into this certain village, see, it was not unusual for these lepers to kind of all be congregated together because they were outcasts. They weren't like the society at large. So they didn't have any specific place to congregate. But it says here that, and I believe it lets us know that it's between Samaria and Galilee for a reason. And that reason is these lepers wouldn't have been all of the same nationality, the same race, the same color. So it was a mixed group, but the thing that they had in common was that they were lepers. They were sick. You know, the Bible doesn't really give us a lot of details about leprosy. You can go back and you can study the different things, but what we tend to know is it was a very, very contagious type of skin disorder. And there were so many rules for lepers. They would have to cry, unclean, unclean. And much like when Andy taught last week, he was saying how in his town of Oregon or Washington State or out there in Seattle, you'd be walking down one side of the street, and if you see somebody coming on the other side, you would cross the road just so you wouldn't have to pass beside people. Much is the same thing with a leper. They would be required to cry, unclean, unclean, so that anyone passing by wouldn't come in contact or wouldn't be at risk. So we see, first of all, that they stand afar off. They kept the distance. And, you know, they were forbidden by law and custom to come near to those who weren't lepers for fear of them getting infected. So we see here that Jesus passed through this town of Samaria and Galilee, and those words there, through the middle of, would be translated kind of between, referring to Jesus traveling along that border between Samaria and Galilee. So the lepers, they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they came to Jesus together and they prayed together. You see, they had a need, these lepers. It was a mixed group, as I said, but they were bonded together by their misery. You know, it didn't really matter about their nationality. It didn't really matter about their prejudice. They all vanished as they came together in prayer. They unified their voices when they said, Jesus, Master. So we know that there's 10 of these lepers, and the 10 lepers cried out because they knew their condition. So we have to recognize our need. We have to first recognize our own condition, whatever that may be, whatever thing that has separated us from God, or the things that have separated us from God. And we're going to see here that thankfulness, it starts when we acknowledge our own need before God. And when we forget what Christ has rescued us from, we have a tend for our gratitude to fade. And sometimes the longer that we walk with the Lord, the more we forget the things that he saved us from. So one of my challenges for you this morning is to remember, to think back, not to drum up old things, but just so that you can continue to praise God for all the things that he has saved you from, for all of the things that he has rebuilt and restored in your life, almost like you have this spiritual before and after. One of the other things that I want you to notice here is, in order to cry out to Jesus, there's this humility that has to happen in us. This humility is something, it'll fuel gratitude. But I want to caution you that pride will be the first thing to kill it. My question to all of us is, do I still cry out to Jesus daily? Or have I grown so self-sufficient that I no longer need to cry out to the Lord? Well, this morning, let me remind you that my first point is thankfulness begins with recognizing our need. This morning, I have the distinct privilege of asking a friend of mine. She's going to come up and share a part of her testimony, and it's going to be the illustration for my first point. So, Trudy, would you want to come up and share with us what God has laid on your heart? And then I'll come right back up and finish my message. This is, you know, the Bible tells us about how powerful the testimony of the saints really is. And so it's good for us to be able to hear what God has done and be remembered of what God has done. So Trudy, go ahead and share with us.
It was 34 years ago yesterday, you don't have to put that in my face, that I went to jail. And the night that I went, well, after I was booked in, I'll cut the light, they gave me a mattress and opened a door to a room where there was three beds, bunk beds on one side, and a bed on the other side, and a toilet on the other side, and pointed to the floor in between and said, that's where you're going to be. So, with no pillow, no blanket, just my coat and the mattress and a sheet, and well, I did have one blanket, you know, I laid in the floor between three people and the toilet. And I thank God for a bed. So, wasn't there for long before they moved me into a room where I had a bed. But the women kept telling me, go to church, go to church, go to church. And I kept saying, no, I'm not going to disrespect God like that. I'm not going to go to church and have people think that I'm going so God can get me out of doing time. I will do what I need to do and then go to church after, decide after I go get sentenced, after I go to court. Well, God has jokes. He's got a wonderful sense of humor. That was Claymont, and it was a girls' school. And that was the end of 1991. In the beginning of 92, they moved us to the new prison, which was not finished, put us in five different housing units. And after about 2 months, the church services started coming into the units. So I didn't go to church. God sent church to me. He sent volunteers, and I'm sitting in my room, or the cell, whatever you want to call it, and listening to these people out here preaching about this Jesus who loves you. You know, growing up, we heard that if you did it and it was fun, God was going to get you. You know, you weren't allowed to do certain things because it wasn't right. But anyway, so I'm hearing about this God who loves me, and I go out and I start getting closer and closer to the Bible studies and the sermons. And there was a volunteer who was bringing in Bibles for people from her church, donated from her church, and you had to be on the list. Well, one day I decided I wanted one of these study Bibles. And she said, one of the girls that she had brought the Bible in for had already left, so here, you can have this one. The first scripture that I read was Philippians 2:5. Your attitude should be that is the same of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how can I know what his attitude is? There's nobody here that really knows him. And the feeling was, read what he says about himself. So I started reading. And within 2 months, I had read the Bible all the way through. And there's a lot of ouch moments when God shows you the things that you were doing that you shouldn't have been doing. But he also showed me how much he loved me. So one day, I'm sitting in my room, and I said, Lord, how did my life get so messed up that I ended up in here? And it can only be described as liquid love. It was like walking through a door into the presence of God. And there was no condemnation, no guilt, no fear, just love. And God said, because you believe the lies, You believed that you were dumb and you were stupid and you would never amount to anything. He said, but if the creator of the universe loves you, and he does, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. So from that moment on, it was a whole different world. I asked God one day, had a really bad phone call from home, and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I said, what do you want me to do for you while you work on my problems? And he just started opening doors for me in that institution. Now, granted, jail is not someplace you want to go. There's many nightmare moments that I have, but I don't talk about them because God blessed me so much in so many different ways. I worked for the chaplain. I worked in the Christian library. I did one-on-ones with other individuals. I had favor. I worked with one chaplain for 26 years, and since she passed away. And I had such favor with the institution that the warden and the higher staff said, stay in the office, because you're the only one that knows what she did. So for 2 months, I was in the office by myself with a staff member there watching, but, you know, they typing letters, doing whatever. And they blessed me to allow us as residents to do the memorial service for the chaplain. Told them who we wanted to come in and who to invite and all that. So many things happened while I was there that to try to wrap up 34 years in any amount of time is an impossibility. But before I went to jail, I could have cared less if my parents lived or died. That's how bad of a relationship we had. God healed that. When I read the Ten Commandments and it said, you know, honor your mother and father, and I prayed and asked God how to honor them, and he told me. So he healed that relationship, that when my parents passed away, I grieved, and I thanked God for that, because before I went to jail, I wouldn't have. And he gave, my relationship with my son was good, and it stayed that way. And what is it, 23 years ago today? He was in a car accident and died. So November is a very emotional month if I wanted it to be. But I thank God for the time that I had. I thank God for the time that I spent up at the prison, because it was a mission field that most people couldn't be on. When the staff was gone, the chaplain or whoever, and somebody had an issue, they'd come to me and ask me to pray for them. You know, I had staff members who would come to me and ask me to pray. Then there was staff members who I avoided. I walked on the other side of the road, you know, because they were not so nice. But I love God so much, and I am so grateful, and I cry out to him all the time. And, you know, and ever since Sean told me last Sunday that I was doing this week, I haven't slept very much. Because I would lay in bed and I would think of all these things I wanted to say, and I'd get up and go to the computer and it all went away. I should have took the computer to bed with me. But I just want to say that the 23rd Psalm says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He doesn't say pitch a tent. You know, don't stay stuck there. You know, trust and believe that no matter what you're going through, God is there with you through it. And I know Jamie knows that. You know, and you know it, Sean. My testimony is so different for everybody that I talk to, because I try to allow God to talk to that person based on what they need. Because, again, there was so much. I mean, that's 34 years wrapped up into minutes. And while I was up there, my father passed away, my mother passed away, my son passed away, my grandmother, two aunts, two uncles, a cousin, and God only knows who else, you know. And I couldn't be there. And I prayed and I told God, you know, I want to be there to be able to help, to be able to grieve with the family. But when Chaplain Earl passed away, we grieved as a community. And that was awesome because you could feel the love, you know. But we also rejoiced in the fact that we had her for as long as we did, and that she showed us the love of God that nobody else could. You know, she passed away right before COVID. But the thing that I remember is I used to tell the girls that I was walking out the front door, which meant I was leaving free. Because if you walked out the back door through booking, it meant you were going to a program. You know, they said, oh, no, you've been here too long. You're going to have to go to work release or something. I said, no, I'm walking out the front door. God has told me I'm walking out the front door. I walked out the front door. The day that I left, they had taken one of the ladies that was living next to me to the emergency room. I walked out free. She died. So I thank God even the more, because I could have been the one, you know. So in her remembrance, I thank God for my freedom very often. You know, I thank God when I'm in traffic. People complain about traffic and say, no, pray for the people that are around you. You know, it's an opportunity. You're stuck next to somebody. Pray. You know, people pull out in front of you and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Pray that they get home safe and don't hurt anybody on their way. You know, people don't like to go shopping. I do. You know, I like to do things that other people complain about because I couldn't for so long. You know, don't take anything for granted. Don't take your relationships with people for granted. We all have seasons. Some seasons are longer than others. You know, just thank God every day, you know, for his love and his grace and his mercy, you know. And that's about it. I love him and I thank him, and I thank Sean for the opportunity to torment me. And see y'all at lunch.
Oh, it's crazy how to just to think about everything that happens in our lives that we just take for granted. Thank you so much for that reminder. Verse number 14. Let's look there. Verse number 14. Luke chapter 17, verse 14. It says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Here, Jesus is telling these lepers what the answer is to their problem. He's saying, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So the healing didn't actually occur until they were obedient. So their steps of faith preceded the visible miracle. He said, go show yourself to the priest. So it was remarkable that Jesus asked them to go, and while they were still lepers. Does this sound familiar? You know, God, he reaches out to us in that while we are yet sinners, right? Christ died for us. So this was truly a moment of stepping out into faith, as in putting on the new man, even when we look and feel like the old man. So this act of faith begins while we are still sick, while we are still in need. And the only condition here that Jesus set forth for the healing was basically obedience. You see, because it's not really anything that the lepers did of themselves, but it's what God has done, much like our salvation. So them being ordered, they had to obey. And if he was the master, if Jesus truly was the master as they had cried he was, then let them prove this by their faith of stepping out into obedience. God highly honors this kind of faith, and he makes it the instrument in the hand of the working of many miracles. He who will not believe till he receives what he calls a reason, he who will not believe till he receives what he calls a reason for it is never likely to get his soul saved. The highest, the most sovereign reason that can be given for believing is that God has commanded it. And so it was that while they had gone, they were cleansed, it says, just as God blessed the faith of the lepers to step out as the new man, while they were still in the old, when they felt like they were still sick, so he still blessed their faith. And it is as us, as when we go on the commanded road, that we experience this commanded blessing. Let the church obey the command of the Lord Jesus and with enthusiasm evangelize the nations. And as she goes, she will be healed. You see, obedience often positions us to experience God's blessings. But gratitude is what grows us when we walk in faith. As I said earlier, one who's been forgiven much loves much. One who has understood where they were and where they would be without God has a grateful heart. And that gratitude will likely grow as we continue to walk in faith. Many times that's even before we see the outcome. You know, you recall the story of Peter being called out of the boat during the storm to walk on water. You know, his faith, that step of faith, that, you know, his feet actually getting wet, you know, before he was able to walk. That's the type of faith here. Go, show yourself to the priest. So that obedience. So we need to walk in obedience even when we don't see the result, when we are still in sin, when we are still sick. So we need to practice these things daily, the faithfulness unto the Lord through our prayer and through scripture reading and through serving others. And I challenge you to be thankful not for only what God has done, but for what he is doing as you walk in faith. I'm sure many of you might remember one of my favorite stories of missionaries would be George Mueller. You know, George Mueller had an orphanage, and let me tell you a little bit about the situation. He ran this orphanage, and one morning the tables were completely bare. There was no food, and I think there were 1,000 children and staff at this orphanage. My wife actually used to work at an orphanage. In fact, that's where I met her, and I think maybe there might have been, 60 kids or something. I couldn't imagine. I remember people there just wondering, where's the food coming from? Where's the provisions that we need? How are we going to keep the lights turned on? I couldn't imagine having 1,000 orphans that I would be responsible for. But here we have George Mueller. And so Mueller gathered everyone in, and he led them in prayer with a specific focus, knowing that they didn't have food. He gathered them, and his focus was on giving thanks. He went ahead in his faith, and he thanked God, even though there was nothing to be seen on the tables. The result was this: almost immediately after the prayer, a baker knocked on the door, and he was saying how God had led him to bake bread. Before they could even distribute the bread, a milkman arrived. His truck had broken down and offered the milk for the orphanage. And I know this sounds so supernatural and out there, but let me share a personal story. And I'm not, sometimes God chooses to move in these miraculous ways. But I remember when my kids were just really, really small, I was renting a farmhouse in Pennsylvania, and I just had a surgery, and I was laid up. I was off work. I was on disability for like a small fraction of what I was normally making, and I just didn't know where our food was going to come from. And then there was this knock on the door. It was the farmer, and he was a mess. And he's like, do you guys eat beef? And I'm like, yeah, of course. He had one of his cows go crazy, and he had to shoot it. And it wasn't during the normal, you know, butchering season. So he had nowhere to put this whole beef. Yeah, the whole cow. And needless to say, God filled up my freezer. It lasted me for over a year. And sometimes the Lord decides to provide in ways like that. But it's the thankfulness even when you don't see. Verse number 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. So the interesting thing here is I believe there were 10 that were healed, but only one returned to give thanks. Only one. You know, the difference wasn't the healing, because all of them were healed. The difference was his response. The thankful man stopped, and he turned around, and he publicly thanked the Lord, which was an expression of worship. He publicly worshiped the Lord for what had happened inside of his heart. So true gratitude, church, is not silent. When you're really thankful for what God has done in your life, you will not be silent. You will share that gratitude. Real thankfulness, it moves our feet, it opens our mouth, and it bows our heart. That's the worship aspect. And we don't just feel thankful, we show it. So express gratitude to God daily. Be thankful. The Bible tells us to count our blessings so that we understand what God has done, so that we can give him the appropriate worship. Thank people who have blessed you. Many times, it's hard for me to receive, accolades or things like that. It's hard when people say, oh, you did this, you did that. It's very humbling, because I know no matter what I've done, the Lord has done so much more, and there's so many other people who are out there doing more and deserve it more. But also, when someone shares that gratitude with you, make sure that we return it and say thank you, you know, and then point that direction to the Lord. Praise the Lord, you know, to God be the glory for whatever it is. So we need to make Thanksgiving a part of our worship. Not just at the holiday, not just in a few weeks, but it's something that we get so used to saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the traffic. That's a new one for me. I'll work on that. But it's something when we recognize that the Lord is in it. Emerson said that if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night and behold them. And we've seen the stars so often that we don't even bother to look up at them anymore. We've grown accustomed to our blessings. The other night I was just looking up and just so thankful how clear the sky was. And you know, it reminded me how good our God is. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, they got accustomed to their blessings too. God had to chasten the people. In Numbers 11, it said that God fed that nation with heavenly manna each morning. And you know what their response was? They were getting tired of it. They said, but now our whole being is dried up, they said. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Imagine how the very provision from God can become something that we're so used to that we despise it. It's easy, you know, here in America, you know, I've seen people in other countries and even in other states and just in situations where they're in such desperate need and they're thankful for whatever they can get. And then so many times we are just accustomed to God's blessings. Nothing but manna. This is my last point, verses 17 to 19. Thankfulness leads to a deeper relationship with God, and it also leads to wholeness. Verse 17 says this, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Verse 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. So know what happened here? The 9 that didn't come back missed out on the actual blessing, the inside. What happens? You know, we are a Reformed church, but you know what? We're more than that. We're transformed people. We were once here, but God, he saved us. Don't forget to thank him for what he's done in your life. Don't miss out on that wholeness that comes when you realize it's not about you, but what Jesus has done. You see, he'd taken our sin. He'd taken it upon himself. And you know, he doesn't look down and say, Sean is such a bad person. He looks down and he sees the blood of Christ. He sees that I am no longer the one that I used to be, that my life has been transformed by the renewing of my mind, by the regeneration. I'm no longer looked at as that dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. I'm looked at as a saint, believe it or not. I can't believe it sometimes. But thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, God, that I'm no longer stuck in my sin. I'm no longer there. I'm no longer trapped by that because of what Jesus has done. It's changed my life, and it can change all of our lives. So, yeah, you know what? The other 9, they received that physical healing. But the one who returned, he received more because he got that spiritual wholeness and a personal affirmation from Jesus. And you know, many, many times, 90% of us are willing to do the religious ceremony or the ritual. Go to the priest, go get clean, go do this. But only one was filled with true praise and true thanksgiving. The external religious exercises, they're easy. And they're common, but the internal is what matters. The drawing out of the heart in thankful love, how scarce a thing is this? Oh, to be thankful. 9 obey this ritual, but only one praise the Lord. You see, because gratitude, it opens up the door to intimacy with God. And thankfulness doesn't just acknowledge the gift, it honors the giver. When you're thankful, you're not just saying, yes, I'm saved. You're saying, he is Lord, and he has done the work. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, all praise be to the Lord. Got all my papers mixed up here. Give me a second. All right, let me pray. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity this morning that we have to open up your word and just, Lord, remind us of what we've been saved from. so that we might honor you, Lord, not just with our lips, but with our hearts. Lord, may we never get stuck in religious ritualistic things that are separated from our heart. Lord, help us to honor you. Help us to be thankful. Help us to return that blessing back unto you, God, so that we will not miss out on that intimate moment with you, so that we can be made whole. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you so much. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to switch to our communion.